We thank you, Jesus, that you are the Savior and our Savior. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, into this place. We ask that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that open our ears, that we would hear a word, a whole bunch of words that would transform us, encourage us, give a direction that maybe we've missed in the past. And we thank you for speaking to us this morning in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hey, again, worship team, just awesome, awesome. And also in the back table, turn around, look at that back table. There's a back table there. There's orange. We decided to do the orange thing. Sign-ups for grow groups. Why do we do grow groups? So we can grow in God. Grow in who he is, what he has for your life. And also, you grow in friendships. So I don't have any friends. Go to a grow group. Amen. Well, they might not know me. Go to a grow group, all right? So we have them. Some of them are starting this week. Some of them are starting next week. Some of them are starting in October. But go in there and sign up. Put your name and your phone number that we can read, because the grow group leader will give you a phone call. Okay, so we have to be able to read it. All right, it's just real easy. I haven't figured out which one I'm going to. I'm actually not doing one for this semester. I might go to two of them. What the heck? Shoot, I just show up. It's wonderful. All right. Hey, I just want a big thanks you to parents. And I want to say I value you that you bring your kids to church. Yep. And I wanted you to know, there used to be some arguments in my house. Sometimes it wasn't pretty. And sometimes you just say, I'm the parent, you're going to do this. And some days I look like I lost, but most of the time we won. But I want to say thanks that you value church, to bring your kids to church. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So we're doing, this is like week three on a series called Foundations. You guys want to pop that picture up there? Foundations. And every week I'm going to do a new foundation. And this is a foundation, looks like, for a house. And you cannot start and have a house that lasts. You can start. But you will not have a house that lasts unless you get the foundation correct. All right? So we're doing foundations. These foundations are what we believe at YCF, but it's really what every believer should believe, know about, believe, and then you walk in it. So we're doing foundations. First week, we did one on faith. What is faith? Okay, how do I walk in faith? What does it do? So we did a thing on faith. Last week, we talked about healing, and we answered the big question. Does God still heal? Guys, what's the answer? Does God still heal? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And you know what's really cool? By the time I make it downstairs after Sunday morning and I'm talking, I ran into Michelle Knob. She and Heather head up the children's, what grade is that? First grade through fourth? Don't tell them, I don't remember. Okay, they had that classroom and she said, oh, we taught on healing. Yes. And then, of course, I ran into Sherry. She comes over every Sunday night to do laundry at my house. And we watch something, you know, just uplifting. And she goes, so Mom, what'd you teach on? I said, I was doing our foundation on healing. She goes, oh, we taught on the same thing. I was like, high five, God. It's just so cool, right? So maybe we need to know. So if you weren't able to be with us, you can go online, listen to it. You can get we do free CDs, okay? And also, maybe you're not into that, go into our bookstore. We have little books, big books, fat books, skinny books, on anything we just talked about, all right? So go into our bookstore and say, hey, I want something on healing, and they'll give you plenty of good stuff. Amen. All right, today we are going to talk about this. Everybody go like this. This relationship, us to God. We're going to talk about our relationship vertical, chink, okay? And maybe you're here and you might be struggling with this. Like, I think God's mad at me. I think he doesn't like me. I think he forgot my address, my cell phone number. Okay, and all of this, you got to get it. It is a foundation. So we are going to talk about righteousness. It is one of those blocks that's on the foundation for every believer. So we're going to talk about that. And if you're here like, oh, boring, dear Jesus, I should have had that second cup of coffee. No, guys, this is a foundation. And you might not know that you're struggling because you don't have this foundation. Or you have it all together, right? And your spouse is a mess. So take notes for them, okay? Take notes for them. Praise God. praise the Lord. Pastor D, behave. All right. By the way, again, our vision here at YCF is to gather, grow, and go. And the grow is this message. You will grow in your relationship with God. You understand right standing. So this is one of those. Praise the Lord. Now, when you think about righteousness, most of church people think it's sort of religious. Most church people just are clueless. And I was one of those for many years. They don't understand this, righteousness, my righteousness, okay? And so a lot of times what we understand about righteousness, which is wrong, is all the things I should do, then I'll be right with God, all right? I came out of a church background that was all about works. Yep, I mean, everything we did, every candle we lit, every time you kneeled down, everything you did had to do with works, okay? And so, and to this day, there are times I go, oh, I'm getting into that works thing. And that works thing doesn't have anything to do with my relationship, like this, okay? So, I have to remind myself that. D, watch it, all righty? So, Righteousness. Do you know it's in the Bible over 500 times? And there's over 500 scriptures that say righteousness and righteous. So I think it might be a little important. I think God's a nag. He had to write it 500 times, okay? Okay, 500 times. So what's so important about it? Well, if he wrote something 540 scriptures, then it must mean he wants you to know about it. He wants you to understand that so that you can tell your spouse how to do it. Right? Okay. Yeah. All right. So now some of you, you're looking at me like this is the first time. That's okay. Just open your heart and say, I'm just going to listen to her and I thank you, God, you'll give me the rest here. All right. So let's start with a definition. Always good to start with a definition. Definition for righteousness. If you're taking notes for your spouse, because you know you got this, you know, already know this. All right. Write down righteousness is right standing with God. How many of you already knew that? Righteousness, but your spouse didn't write it down, okay? And you could read it to them all the way home. You know, you need it. Okay, so righteousness is right standing with God. It is the condition of being in right relationship with your mother-in-law. It is the condition of being in right relationship with your neighbor. Righteousness is the condition of being in right relationship with God. That's all it is. Real simple. Being in right relationship with God. That's what righteousness is, alrighty? So I came up with just three vital things, important things that you need to know about righteousness. So if you are smarter than a fifth grader and you're taking notes for your spouse, number one, ready? Righteousness is a free gift. Amen. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. Free. Everybody like free. Everybody go to BJ's and eat all the free things that they dish out? Love doing that. Go around dinner time, just free. Free, free, free. Love it. Okay. Now, righteousness is a free gift. Thought I'd have a little visual. Pastor Sherry doesn't own visuals. We share them. She's no water. Do you know how hard it is for me to sit there every time she pours water on that carpet? Gosh, I just want to spank her. Okay. Long, long time ago in a far, 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 far away place when you were all younger, y'all didn't have a problem receiving free gifts, did you? Right? Somebody walked up with a free gift, you didn't go, oh, I'm not taking it. No. How many of you parents have to teach your kid first to open the card that Nana gave? That they lick. Are you kidding me? This is a three-year-old that you're giving the gift to, all right? You have to tear open. You teach your kid to read the card, or you read it for them, and then you teach your child to go say thank you to Nana. And then what do? They tear open it, right? They tear open it. They get the gift, okay? Now, the interesting thing as you get older, because I am an eternal being, forever young. No, the interesting thing is when we get older, sometimes we start having a hard time receiving gifts. Yeah, we do, all right? Okay, and the reason why is we live in a culture that teaches us you have to earn it. You have to earn it. You have to be good enough to earn it, and then you can have it. Okay, that kind of goes on. You might not think so, but I'll tell you a little bit. So let me give you, years and years and years ago, God put on Jack in my heart to bless somebody. You know, anybody have God just puts on your heart to be a blessing to somebody? It could be money. It could be a car. It could be a house. Come over and see me. Okay, it could be just any little thing. God will put you on your heart. So God will put on our heart to bless this particular couple. And so we said, hey, come on over. I think we met him after church, come to think of it. So we said, hey, God put on our heart to bless you. And they said, no. I was a little smart that day. Watched what every thought in your head doesn't come out of your mouth. I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah. And they said, well, what do you think? We need something? Don't you want to just spank them? Okay. And I was really shocked. But as we started listening to them, this is what we heard. They didn't feel they were good enough to accept a gift. Yeah. Well, we made them good enough. We told them, we gave them our gift. Okay. We worked them over. But listen, that happens with righteousness. When we don't understand it, when we don't understand our right relationship with God, we think we have to do stuff, or we're not worthy, or I'm not as good, and I'm a mess, okay? So, turn to Romans. We're going to do a lot of Romans, Romans 5 and Romans 4. Romans is a wonderful book in the Bible. Amen. Every book in the Bible is, and you know, I say every week, oh, it's one of my favorites. But here we go. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans 5, 17. Romans 5:17, and I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. It's a new one that hit about 2 years ago. By the way, I'm getting all my kids one for Christmas. Don't tell them. Okay. Occasionally I do that. So here we go. Romans 5:17. Death once held us in its grip. And by the blunder, why did it fall? Okay, why? By the blunder of one man, Adam, death reigned as king over humanity. That's us. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue to reign as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness. Woo! In the one and only Jesus Christ the Messiah. Wasn't that good? Okay, verse 18. In other words, just as condemnation, and we're going to talk about that, came upon all people through one transgression or one sin, Adam, okay, one sin, through one righteous act, yay, the act of Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes us all right with God and leads us to a victorious life is now available to all. So, righteousness is available to all. Righteousness is available. You should write that down. It's a good one. Praise God. So what is righteousness again? Right standing with God. A right relationship with God. A right relationship with God is available to all. So this is where you close your eyes and you go, righteousness is available to me. Praise God. Righteousness. Now open your eyes. Don't go to sleep. Praise the Lord. Now, the interesting thing is God never looks at you like you think you're a mess and you're not good enough for righteousness. He doesn't look at you that way. Okay? Praise God. Now, let me tell you a story. It's not a story. It's a fact. In October 1968 until this year, the summer of 2019, there are 145 people who are Olympic medalists, gold, bronze, what's the other one? Silver. And they've had them stripped from them. 145 medalists have had their medal stripped from them. Trivia. Dinner conversation. Come on, write that down. Guys, look, it's just so funny today, Pastor D. Okay, now listen. I love watching the Olympics. I forget to do the other things in my life. I love, not all the sports, but most of them, I love doing it. And I love when they go up on their platform and they get the bronze or the gold and the silver. And then they play their national anthem and I cry. I'm a mess. I just love it. But think about this. The Olympic medalists, after years, sometimes years and years, they find out they cheated. And they have their medal stripped from them, okay? So, you and I live a life, our journey, our walk with Jesus, you know, from the time I heard about him, I'm walking with him. You and I, and we mess up. I mess up. Yes, I do, okay? And we can feel like we lose our medal in a sense, we lose our platform in a sense. How about we can feel like we're not worthy and we lose our righteousness? Everybody go, wrong, okay? Not true, not true, not true, okay? Listen, those gold medalists have maybe, or medalists have lost them, but God never takes his free gift back. Amen. Woo! Okay. You should, everybody say, it's a free gift. And God doesn't take it back. Even if I mess up. Okay, so far today I've been doing really good, but the day is young, right? Okay, all right. But here, listen, you and I mess up. And let's call a spade, and people don't like to say the three-letter word sin. It's a sin. The Bible talks about sin. You sin, you mess up, you miss the mark, okay? You do this, and the Bible says, by the way, the Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Lord. Standard here, okay? But listen, sin doesn't, when you sin, when you mess up, it's not God saying, well, that's it, man. You really, I'm taking my, you're right standing back, taking my gift back. No, you did. No, he doesn't do that. Praise God. Everybody say, God never takes back. Free gift. And that free gift is righteousness. Okay. Now, interesting. So I've been reading through the book of Acts. I'll pick a month, and I'll just read the same book in the Bible over and over and over and over. And then I'll pick another one. Sometimes I just do the Russian roulette, and I just pick one just for the fun of it. So I've been reading the book of Acts, and I'm like, book of Acts, the Apostle Paul. He gets thrown in jail quite a few times. Okay, just change of address, though. He's in jail. And he gets in jail, and they have... kings, different ones, Felix, who's the other, Agrippa, and Festus. If you are thinking of naming your kid Festus, please see me after church. Golly gee whiz. Okay, I'm really adamant on that because my first name and my last name, maiden name, were Tuffy, so I'm really big on give your kid a cut break. All right. So anyway, so now Paul is in jail, and Felix is the king, and He goes to hear Paul preach. He wants to hear Paul preach. Matter of fact, he is so into it, he brings his wife with him. You got to hear this guy. His name is Paul, and he's preaching great stuff, or interesting stuff, okay? And by the way, read Acts chapter 24, 25, and then you'll know what I'm talking about, all right? Just write it down, Acts 24, 25. So Paul is in jail, and this guy who doesn't know Jesus yet, guess what Paul preaches or shares with him? One of the things he shares with him is righteousness, right standing with God. Now, wait a minute. Paul's in prison. He's talking to one of the highest leaders in the land, okay? And Felix would come and sit and listen to Paul teach on righteousness. What's righteousness? My right standing, my right relationship with God, okay? So you know what? It doesn't matter who you are, what position you hold, you need to know righteousness. It doesn't matter how young you are, you need to know about righteousness. It doesn't matter how old you are, you need to know and understand righteousness. It doesn't matter how long you receive Jesus and walking with him, you need to understand what right standing and rightness is with God, okay? Praise God. And listen, when you start getting this, you know, it changes how you see God. It changes how you go to God. It changes everything. You know what it changes? God's not mad at me. God likes me. Matter of fact, God loves me. Matter of fact, God gave me a free gift that I didn't have to do nothing for. Everybody say, I like this relationship. Woo, I just like this. I like this. I like this. Okay, praise the Lord. In the Old English, instead of writing righteousness, they would write the word rightness. I like that. I have rightness with God. I have rightness with God. Write that down next to your definition, guys, for your husband, because, you know, they don't take notes, right? Sorry, guys. How many guys are taking notes? Don't raise your hand. Don't. I'm not even looking. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. So rightness. You have rightness with God. You have rightness with God. All right. Now, we all come from different backgrounds, whether they're church backgrounds or goofy backgrounds, just all by themselves. But sometimes you can think, my rightness has to be on how I behaved, okay? But no, no, no. When you get righteousness, when you get right with God, it's the moment you ask Jesus into your life, he makes you right. Amen. Makes you right. Say, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right. All right. And he gives you the free gift. He gives you the gift of righteousness. Praise God. But here's the problem. I sat in church for like 10 years and didn't even, I heard the word righteousness. And I was like, what is this, you know? And people sit in church for decades and they don't know what righteousness is. Anybody? Don't raise your hand, because that means you sat here and we didn't tell you, all right? So if you don't understand it, and then you start thinking, this is a gift I can lose. It was a gift, but I can lose it. That means you weren't informed correctly. They didn't tell you about it, and they didn't teach you about it, okay? So just think, we start going like, oh, you know, if you have that kind of thinking, oh, then I have, then you know what? You should have been around me yesterday. I did some stuff that I shouldn't have done. I said stuff I shouldn't have done. Okay, so probably God's mad at me, and that all that gift just went out the door. All righty? Okay. But God's not like that. He's not mad at you. The day you receive Jesus, you are right with him. You have righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we'll get to that. Okay, so if you're taking notes, number one, righteousness is a free gift, praise God. Number two, this is a goodie, ready? Number two, you will never be more righteous than you are right now. Amen. Right over your head. You will never get more righteous than you are right now. And listen to this. You can't grow into righteousness. You can't grow in your rightness with God. Now, you can grow in your understanding, and hopefully that's what's happening, but you can't grow more righteousness, rightness with God, all righty? Why? Because it's a free gift. The quality of that gift doesn't change by the days that go by, all right? It is a free gift. It doesn't get better and better. Now, I'm going to say something. I've said it before. People look at me like, I don't know about you, Pastor D. You might be stretching it. But listen to this. When you die someday, and you're a believer, when you die someday and you get to heaven, you don't get more righteous. You don't. Some of you, I don't know about that, Pastor D. I got a scripture for you, okay? But listen to this, all right? You don't get more righteous, and you don't have better right standing when you get to heaven. You're like, I'm in heaven. Ta-da! Give me more. No, it was a perfect gift. You have it. You don't grow in it. You don't get more of it. Praise the Lord. Alrighty. Turn over. Let me give you a good scripture for that. Romans 4, because you know we're all in Romans. Romans 4. Everybody say, I am right with God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Romans 4, 23, 24, 25. Romans 4, 23 to 25. And this declaration was not just spoken over Abraham, but also over us. If you're an us, point to you. For when we believe and we embrace the one who brought our Lord Jesus back to life, perfect righteousness will be credited to our account as well. Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins and raised back to life to prove that he made us right with God. Woo! So, mind-boggling. I'm just going to tip you over the edge. Take your seatbelts off. Go smash down. Here we go. Listen to this. every person who has not accepted Jesus. Okay, and we say every person who is far from God. Listen to this. Jesus has already made them righteous. It has been accredited to their account. But, I love the but, all they have to do is receive Jesus. When you receive Jesus, you receive the free gift. Amen. Oh, good. You didn't fall over the cliff. You guys are good today. Praise the Lord. All right. It's a free gift. Praise God. And I want to tell you, that is why we do what we do. That is why you do what you do. That is why you go tell people the good news. That is why you go tell them that God loves them. He's not mad at them. He sent his son for them. That is why we do what we do. Amen. Praise God. All right. So you never have to, you're not going to grow more righteous. Praise the Lord. You have right standing with God. You don't have to do anything to get more of it. It is a perfect gift. You got it. Amen. Amen. All right. So, you know, I've been walking with Jesus about 40 years. I've been pastoring for a while. And there are times I catch myself, like I mess up. I sin, and I catch myself getting up and go, oh, I'm going to read my Bible more so God won't be so mad at me, or I'm going to pray more. So, you know, because, no, that's that works thing. I have to slap myself sometimes and catch myself going, that's works. This does not change. The day I received him, Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was made righteous. Amen. Praise God. All right. We talked about this last week. You can just jot down Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. And it goes over six basic. Everybody ought to know Bible doctrines. And the first one, which we didn't talk about, was repentance from dead works. And what Paul says, stop doing this. What do you mean stop doing this? Yes, stop doing this. Like, you know, I messed up, so I'm going to, I'm going to read my Bible more than everybody else because then I'm going to be more religious. Yeah, that's exactly what you think. All right. And that's works, dead works. All right. And dead works comes in different flavors for different people. Okay. If I do this, then God will love me more. If I don't do this, he's going to be at me. Those are dumb. Okay, so dead works. We're not going to do that. All right. So if you've received Jesus into your life, you've asked him to come into your life, no matter what you've done since you've asked that, it doesn't change this. I was like, yay, hallelujah. I'm like, woo. Okay, this is the last one we're going to talk about. All right. Question. Why do you need to know about righteousness? Like you're sitting in church, why do I need to know about right standing with God? Well, let me tell you, because so many people, not us, right, live condemned lives. They live in condemnation. They live that way, all right? So you may think it's not you, it's somebody else. So pay attention, though. You can help them, all right? So I'm going to read, or open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. Verse 5, Mark chapter 2, verse 5. We're going to read there in a little bit. But probably more the struggle that most people have in their walk with Jesus is feeling condemned. Yep, feeling guilty. And we're going to go over this story and how Jesus, what he did about a person who really was feeling condemned. What did he do? All right. So Mark chapter 2, how many of you know this? Well, don't read it. How many people know this story? There's a paralyzed guy. That means he can't move. He's laying on a mat. And this guy has four amazing friends. And the four amazing friends, and probably this guy too, who knows, hear about Jesus. They hear that Jesus heals. So they're like, we're getting our friend. So he's on a mat, and they carry him to where Jesus is speaking. And Jesus is at somebody's house. All right. And there's the house is packed with people and out front that's packed with people. So they got this guy, their four friends are carrying this guy on the mat and they can't get in. So, you know, all the rest of the story. So they climb on top of the roof. Right now, obviously, they make roofs different than we do right now because they didn't get a top of this roof. OK, so they climb on top of the roof and they dig a hole in the roof. All right. They dig a hole in the roof and they lower their friend on the mat, their friend who's paralyzed on the mat. So they got these four friends that lower their friend through a hole and plop them in front of Jesus. You talk about being distracted. You know, every time a car goes by, you're like, you get distracted. Talk about being distracted. I would have been a little distracted. I'd have to say, Michelle, what was I saying? You know, where was I? Okay. But Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus looked up and he said to the friends, he said, I see their faith. That's another message. I see their faith. Whoa. So what they did, Jesus said, I saw faith. All right. So the guy's paralyzed. They lower him down. Why was he there? Why did he come to see Jesus? Not a hard question. To be healed. But I think Jesus mixes this up because he should have said, oh, look, you're here to be healed. I will pray for you. You'll be healed. But Jesus mixes himself up or something and he says, your sins are forgiven. Right? I think he's like, Jesus, what page are you on? Right? Okay. So, I want you to hear something about condemnation, because a lot of times the things we've done, that God spoke to us, what we shouldn't have done, but we done it, all right? Well, yeah, we carry that for just a short time. Some people their whole time, and then they can't receive this gift and this relationship, right? Now, you might be thinking, oh, I'm good. Well, maybe not. So just stay open here, okay? We're over at Mark chapter 2, verse 5. I want to read that. Ready? Mark chapter 2, verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, their confidence in God through him, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Notice he called him son. He could have said, oh, you're the guy that screws up all the time. No, he was so sweet. He said, son, your sins are forgiven you and put away. That is, the penalty is remitted, the sense of guilt removed, and you are made upright and in right standing with God. Woo! Praise God, praise God, praise God. Listen, sometimes people, maybe not you, but maybe it is you, you struggle because of stuff in your life. You struggle with this relationship. Man, you know, God, I know what I did, and I know that you know what I did, so I obviously, you're mad at me. See, you're struggling with this relationship, and then you get condemned, you condemn yourself, and then you put smear poo-poo all over you. Just bad, okay? Now, I want to read this again to you. Ready? Here we go. So it says, son, your sins are forgiven you. Put away, that is, the penalty is remitted. The penalty is pardoned. The penalty is wiped out. So Jesus was, he knew the guy had sinned, all right? He wasn't like, oh, he's just the perfect kid. No, he knew he sinned, and he said, it's forgiven. Praise God, all right? So sometimes we get this feeling like, I deserve it because I know what I did. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He says, the penalty is remitted. You are right standing with me, all right? You don't have to pay for your penalty. You don't have to pay for it. Okay, I love that. I love that. I love that. The next part, it says, the sense of guilt is removed. The sense of guilt is removed. Listen, I don't care how great a life you're living as a believer. Okay, just maybe you're going to mess up. You're going to sin, all right? Just maybe till the day comes down, okay? And then we feel so guilty, especially if, like, I did it again. I did it again, all in an hour. One hour. Okay, side note. So I wasn't feeling well Friday night, and my throat hurt. So I justified buying Swedish fish. I figured they slide down real easy. So I ate half a bag of them. At first I said I was just going to have three. And then I felt bad. Then I ate the whole bag. I felt bad. I did it three times. And then my stomach didn't feel good. You're kidding me. So I had half a bag of pretzels. Talk about feeling guilty. And Joy chewed me out, my daughter. She goes, Mom, why did I tell her that? Okay. There's worser things to be guilty, okay? So it doesn't matter. I'm going to say it again. I'm reading right off here. Doesn't matter. We purpose to live a life that's pleasing and honorable to the Lord, right? But we mess up. And because of those mess ups, you can feel super guilty, all right? But I like what he says. The sense of guilt has been removed, all right? And the last part, you are made upright and in right standing, in rightness with God. Jesus is so wonderful. And guys, that wasn't just a word to this paralyzed guy. That's a word to us. That was like prophetic. That's a word to everyone from the beginning of time. All humanity, your sins are forgiven. Condemnation, I've done away with it. Penalty, I've done away with it. And you are in right standing. Wave your hand. I'm right standing. Okay. So if you're taking notes, because I know you are, and we're talking about the third thing of righteousness, this is what Jesus tells this guy. Ready? You are no longer condemned. That's what he said. You are no longer condemned. You are no longer guilty. No longer, no longer, no longer in God's sight. Now, none of you guys ever do this, but I have seen parents slap kids with condemnation because they messed up. I have seen spouses condemn and guilt because they messed up. Somebody else messed up. I have seen bosses just shame and put guilt because you've made a mistake, okay? And I've seen the enemy do that, all right? But listen, praise God, praise God. You are no longer condemned or guilty. And no longer allow anybody to slap that on you. Amen. Right? Just knock it off. Amen. I am no longer, yes, I mess up. Oh, Swedish fish. Okay? Yes, okay? But no longer am I going to let somebody make me feel guilty, condemned, and shamed. Okay? Because I have this free gift. And I am in right with God. And yes, I said I'm sorry. And yes, my stomach had to be prayed for. I'm like, you know, yes, okay. So now, that's what people do to us a lot of times, okay? People do that to us. But you know what's even sillier is that we put guilt on ourselves. All by myself. I put shame all by myself. I just do it by myself. I'm just like swimming in it, all right? Especially, I see this because of social media, Instagram. You're on Instagram, and you're looking at these pictures of these people and what they're doing and all their vacation and their new car and how they're doing this with your kids. And you can start feeling like, I am just a piece of poo. Well, I feel so bad because I don't do that. And I start putting guilt and condemnation on myself, right? So can I tell you, if you can't look at Instagram and you start doing that, just get off of it. Like if you're feeling guilty, just get off of it. I had a friend and he sent everybody a message. I'm going off of Facebook till whenever. And I thought, and I knew what was going on with his life. He's just feeling condemned and guilt for his life and some mistakes he made. Okay. Let me give you two scriptures that have to do with condemnation. The first one, Romans 8:1. Most of you can sing it and do a cartwheel, but here we go. Ready? Romans 8:1. Write this down. I'm going to read it out of the New Living. Romans 8:1. So there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Okay? Now. Right now. Even though you should have heard the argument we had in the car to get to church, right now there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Who is he writing to? He's writing to believers. He wrote to believers. Believers, me, people that have accepted Jesus. And he says there's now no condemnation, okay? No condemnation. If you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. If you're a follower of Jesus, there's no condemnation, okay? So here's the million-dollar question. Why do we condemn ourselves? Why do we feel condemned, okay? Because we don't realize as a Christian, I am going to sin. And I don't realize that Jesus made provision for that. So therefore, after that, there's no condemnation. Because if you come from goofy background like I did, you just think you have to light more candles, say more prayers. And Jesus took all my sins, past, present, and future, so that when I receive him, I got this rightness, right relationship with him, okay? Praise God. Everybody say, no condemnation. Amen. And it's no condemnation, not for what you did, how good you were, how bad you are. There's no condemnation because of everything he did for you. Woo! He forgives all of my sins. Praise the Lord. Let me read this to you out of the Passion Translation. Just so good. So now the case is closed. I just tickled me when I read that. So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice condemning against those who are joined in life union with Christ, the Anointed One. Woo! Sometimes you hear that and you go, shut up. There's no condemnation. I'm not listening to that voice because I am in union. I have received Jesus into my life. Glory, hallelujah. All right, if you're taking notes, write this down. Condemnation is a confidence killer. Bam! Confidence killer. When you're walking around feeling condemned, whether someone's trying to slap it on you or you're just slapping it on yourself, it kills your confidence. What do I mean? 1 John 5:14. I'm going to mess it up, so I'm going to read the last part. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. Woo! That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions or the prayers that we have asked him of. Okay? When you are carrying condemnation, you won't have confidence to go to God. Amen. Matter of fact, he's the first person you stay away from, Amen. Which is the last person you should stay away from. And I've done it. Okay. So when you don't have confidence, and you're carrying condemnation, you stay far from God. And if you don't have this, if you're carrying all this condemnation, guilt, shame, because I messed up, you don't go to him and say, God, you know, I really need some help. You'll stay far from him. Okay, but the Bible says what? You're supposed to go boldly where no man has gone before. Yeah, right. Boldly to the throne of grace. How do I go boldly? Because I have this right standing with God. I'm right with him, so I can come boldly into the throne room of grace and tell him, you know, I did it. I made a mess, but I thank you. You love me. Okay. And people cower like, okay. All right. So why do people just stay in that when they haven't learned that God gave you a free gift? Praise God. Free gift. Praise God. Praise God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'm going to read two more scriptures. Oh, you know. Don't ever say she doesn't give you the word, because we start at 5 and go to 10 of them, all right? Praise God. Can I say, listen, we make mistakes. Right? Probably we did it to ourselves. Maybe, you know, I just goofed up myself. And so I goofed up myself, and then I brought condemnation on myself, and then I'm letting it just all over me, okay? But you need to go back to what the Bible said. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and you brush it off. You know that you're the forgiven, and you just walk out of there, and you boldly come in, and you boldly declare, I am loved by God. He's not mad at me. He hears every cry of my heart. I'm one of his favorites because I have a right relationship with him. Amen. Okay, you're all over at 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to become an offering for whose sin? Yeah, my sin, our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So the day you accepted Jesus Christ, you were made right with God through Jesus. Shh, go to bed and sleep on that one. It's a good one, all right? So the day you received Jesus is the day you got born again. The day you got born again, he made you brand new. The day he made you brand new, he gave you a free gift of righteousness. Man, y'all should be smiling now. Woo, woo, woo. Okay, last scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm reading this out of the English Modern. Some of y'all probably should know this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is new creature. Old things have passed away. Look, all things have become new. The day I asked Jesus, I became new on the inside, a new creature. Good, all right? All my old past mess ups, woo, are passed away. I am new. I am new. Woo, I'm new. I'm a new person, not an old person, and I have this free gift of righteousness. Man, praise God, praise God. So this is your homework this week. Ready? Write this down. Just go home tonight, tomorrow, and think about you have rightness with God. Think about it in the middle of your day. Think about it at the end of the day. You have right standing with God. So, changes how I go to Him, changes how I see Him. It changes everything. Amen. So if you're not going to Him, maybe you need to check what you slithered all over you and get it off and say, there's no condemnation. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. And da, 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 da. Okay? And then you go, I'm going to my Heavenly Father. Amen. And I come boldly into His throne. And it says, He loves me like Jesus. And He prepared a seat right next to Him. All right? And I'm just going to spill my guts, tell Him I love Him, ask Him for help. But I just come boldly into His throne because I am right with my Father through Jesus. Amen. How about y'all stand for her and I'll pray over you. Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your free gift of right standing with You. And we thank You, Jesus, that it's through You that we have this gift. And today we take this gift. We don't let go of this gift. We don't let anybody steal it out of our arms. We thank You for our free gift of rightness with You. And from this day forth, we will not hide out. We will not stay away, but we will always come in Your presence to be loved by You, to be lifted up by You, to be encouraged and even corrected by You, because we know You're not mad at us because we have a right relationship with You. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Father. Everybody say thank You, Father, for a free gift of right standing with You. Amen. Amen. Hey, while we're still here, if you're here today and you have never received the free gift of Jesus, because He opens the door to the rest, and maybe your heart's just going, man, I've never done that. I've never asked Jesus into my life. I've never accepted what Jesus has done. Well, today's the day. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And Jesus said, I am the only way to the Father. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. And when you come to Him, God just opens, scoops you up, twirls you around, makes you one of His. So here's my question. Have you ever asked Jesus to come into your life? It will change your life forever. Do you remember a day and a time that you've done that? If you haven't, can I just say today's the day? Why wait? Why wait? Why wait for another day, right? Why wait for another day not to have this? Amen. So if you just raise your hand, we'll all pray for you. Is there anybody here that would say, Jesus, I'm so ready. It's been a long, hard road. And I thank You for Your love, Your forgiveness of my sins. And I thank You for the gift. Is there anybody here that just say, that's me? That's me? Well, look at your neighbor and say, I got a free gift. How about you? Amen. Praise God. All right. I love you. It is.